Well, we are privileged to have Nathan and Brianna Martin come and share with us today about their upcoming mission work in Cambodia. And they are pastors at Salem Friends, and they are currently working on their spiritual and financial support as they're planning on moving in July 2009 to serve. So if Nathan and Brianna, you guys want to come up, and we'll have a prayer, and then you guys can share with us your story and your hearts. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as a church, we want to lift up Nathan and Brianna to you as they've come to share this morning, Lord. That you would just speak through them and speak to our hearts the words that you have for your missionaries here, Lord. For the work that you have for them over in Cambodia, that you would move our hearts to see, move our ears to hear, Lord, what you would like us to hear today. Amen.
I'm not going to share so much of a traditional sermon today. I'm going to give more of my testimony of why missions, a call on how we got started in missions. And then Brandon's going to come up and share why Cambodia. We're going to have a little video later to show some slides, but also we'll be around if you want to ask some more questions about Cambodia. We had some good questions this morning in Sunday school. My story really begins with my parents. I was very blessed to be brought up in a godly home, and I look out and see some of the parents here with your kids, and praise God for you guys. thank God for you guys. My father, my earliest memories of God and my father praying with my brother and I at night, and one point my father asked us to go ahead and pray, and I asked him, well, what should I say? And my dad said, well, you can just talk to God, tell him whatever you want, and so I started to pray for a baby sister. my parents weren't expecting to have any more kids, but to their surprise, I became pregnant about a month later. And that was my first answer to prayer. And I was blessed to be brought up in a church home. It was very Christ-centered. And I was one of those kids that, as I came to know the Lord more and started to read the Bible myself and pray, when the pastor would give an altar call, I wanted to come up more than once, you know, to really make sure he got this thing down. And God was good in my life. Missions first started to come in and hearing a family friend named Lynn Landwehr, and she was a missionary with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And she, as a single lady, would march the jungles of Papua New Guinea. Just an incredible woman. I loved hearing her stories and her passion for the Lord. So I told my parents when I was still real young that I wanted to be a missionary when I grew up. And God was good to me. About middle school, early part of high school, things started to get a little bit tougher with my faith, as it often does for kids those age. I didn't have many Christian friends, so I looked at you guys here in the youth group sitting together and stuff. Praise God for that fellowship that you have. And I started to ride the fence a little bit on my faith. I wasn't real sure. You know, Jesus seemed to get in my way of having some fun sometimes. Well, God started to shake those things up again. I had a classmate in high school who committed suicide, and she was a popular, well-liked girl. And God started to burden my heart for my classmates. I knew forgiveness of sins. I had a joy and peace of knowing Jesus Christ. Why would somebody take their life? And for the first time, I started to actually pray for people. I actually cared that some people did not know the same Jesus that I knew. And about that time, God started to renew this interest in missions again. Brianna's story starts to intersect mine about this point. She had grown up in a home that wasn't as strong as mine. It was tough, but God had been starting to put missions on her heart, too. At church camp, she heard a missionary from Africa speak and had told her counselor, I want to be a missionary someday. And Brianna, you can hear the rest of her story. It's a great testimony. She would tell you she wasn't even really sure if she was a Christian at this point, but God was working on her heart. And well, we met, and God was doing some great things in my church at the time. And we went to Haiti with my aunt on a short-term mission trip. And I'd been to Kingston, Jamaica with my parents and worked in the inner city there where there's like 1,000 people to one water faucet. And and I saw physical poverty, But in Haiti, I started to see, and God started to burn my heart for spiritual poverty as well. I talked to a pastor there. He talked about the fear among the people and about voodoo. And I had kind of laid down the fleece. I don't know if it's a very good prayer, but I had told God, if you really want me to be a missionary, give me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone this week, which was kind of ambitious. I didn't speak the language. We were only going to be there a week, and we were working in this orphanage. But God did that. I befriended this man named Eric outside the missions home, and he was very interested. We went through the story of the Old Testament, and I talked about Jesus, and he was really excited about these things. And even more than that, for the first time, God burdened my heart for somebody and for a people that are totally different from myself. And actually wept tears for this man and for Haitian people that didn't know Christ. Moving into college, I began to wrestle with this question. Question that maybe a lot of you have thought about. What about those people who have never heard about Christ? What about those people who have never had a chance to hear about Christ? And I didn't know the answer. Do they have any hope of being with the Lord? I didn't know the answer. We went on another missions trip to Indonesia and spent some time with some Muslim families there. And God, we were thinking about missions right away, but God called us on to seminary. And in seminary, this question became even stronger. And I began to look through the scriptures and tracing God's heart for the nations, beginning way back with Abraham, where he called Abraham and blessed him to be a blessing to the nations. And on to David, who says in the Psalms, Lord, be gracious to us, make your face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all peoples. And Isaiah, we just read in Christmas, you know, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And it talks about this, for to us a son is born, and to us a son is given. And he says his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And going on talking about this coming Savior, in Isaiah 49:6, it says, it's too small a thing. It's too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I also make you a light to the nations. And that's what we celebrated this Christmas. Jesus Christ come to us. Jesus, who this light, John 1 says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And all things were made through him, and the Word became flesh. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I see his passion for the nations. At the end of each of the Gospels, he talks about in Matthew, make disciples of all nations, make disciples of all peoples. In Luke, he says, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Mark, he says, preach the gospel to all creation. And in Acts, he says, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has a heart for all peoples of the earth. God longs for all peoples of the earth to be able to know who he is, that he longs to have a relationship with those he has made. I'm going to read a passage from you to you from Romans chapter 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And in verse 17, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Finally, God got me to the point where I'm wrestling with this question. This is knowing that there's many people in the world that still have not heard of Jesus. Wrestling with this question, you might as well do something about it. And so he's been working in my life, giving me an interest in missions all along. But finally, the call is about the need in the world and the Great Commission. The truth is the truth, and God has come to us in Jesus Christ. And there's this part of the world we talked about in Sunday school called the 1040 window, where about 97% of unreached peoples in the world live. Think of North Africa through the Middle East down to Southeast Asia, Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim kingdoms of the world. And missions has been doing, God's been doing great things around the world in missions in the past 100 years. Average Christian today is a non-white, non-Western person. But through this area of the world, there's about 2 billion people that still have had almost no access to the gospel. In other words, there's not like a bang or liberty in a community to be able to reach the rest of the community. You can't look up a friend's church or any other church in the phone book if you want to go to church. And Brandon's going to share a little bit about why Cambodia, but God started to put this heart for the nations, and that this great commission is still unfinished. Preach the gospel to all nations. Make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. It's what Christ said before he went up into heaven. So, Brandon and I are missionaries. I love the children's illustration. As you can see, missionaries don't look any different than the rest of you. We're not like super Christians or something like that. We're going to need your prayers just to have any hope of being effective. But God has called us to be witnesses here and to the ends of the earth. And that's the motivation of my heart. There's still this need to preach the gospel to those who have not heard about Jesus Christ. I was talking to Dave just a little bit during break, and in Cambodia, it's Buddhism, and we talked just a little bit in Sunday school, but I encourage you to talk to Dave about Buddhism. I'm looking forward to hear a little bit more of your testimony myself. But as I've studied world religions, I've come to see more and more that the gospel is unique. Out of 99 names for God in Islam, not one is love. And we talked to this Buddhist priest in Lowell, and I asked him, and Dave confirmed this. I asked him, because we read about these things, is it really true? And he asked him, is it true that you're not supposed to love as well as not hate? He said yes. And there's this incredible fear I've come across in other world religions, fear of spirits, fear of trying to do enough good in order to tip the scales to make it into another better reincarnation or something like that. But we have a Savior who was born to us. His name is Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. The good news is forgiveness of sins in his name. And I believe that Jesus Christ brings the best of life, not only for heaven, but right now. In this area of the world that I talked about, this 1040 window where people have least heard of Christ, where the most dictators, the most human suffering, the most corruption, a lot of things going on. And it's the area of the world that has least heard about Christ. And I don't think it's any coincidence. The good news changes lives. I see it continuing to transform mine. And God loves the Cambodian people. He has a heart for the Cambodian people. And he's starting to do something now. And we long to be a part of that. Brandon, if you'd come share a little bit more about why Cambodia.
So Nathan and I were compelled and interested in missions since high school when we started dating. Some of our very first conversations were about a mission trip I had taken to Mexico, and I was coming home and dealing with how do you adjust to American culture when you've been in the third world, because that's a hard transition. It can be painful. And so he was kind of helping me counsel that. He had been to Jamaica and had kind of walked through that. So this is something that has been a part of our lives for a long time. But we were one of those people that we never knew where we were supposed to go. And the world is a very big place. How do you decide where to invest your life when there's so many needs? So we started feeling led to Cambodia. First, it was kind of that 1040 window, but even that covers a lot of places. And if you can picture, one day during seminary, we had decided to commit to really pray, just to ask God, where are you sending us? And I was sitting on the floor in our seminary apartment, praying through a book called Operation World. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a prayer guide with different nations that you pray for every day. And actually, God answered my prayer pretty soon, because Cambodia starts with a C. So I could have been called to Zimbabwe, and I would have been praying a lot longer. But anyway, so I was reading, and, I think some of us can share this sense that we learn a lot of things in history, but I had never encountered anything about Cambodia in my geography, in my history, hardly anything at all. And so I'm reading through this page in this prayer guide, and it's talking about the genocide. And Cambodia is one of those places in the world where there is tremendous pain. You know, having a generation wiped out, we can talk about it statistically, but it was like God's Spirit just spoke that compassion into my life, that this is a people that they need some help. They need to know about God's love and the forgiveness. They need to have hope. And so I was reading through all these things about Cambodia, and from that point on, just felt very compelled to love the Cambodian people. Now, because of the genocide called the Khmer Rouge, or Khmer Rouge, maybe you've heard it pronounced that way, a lot of the Cambodians fled. So actually, some of the largest Cambodian cities in the world are in the United States because they came as refugees. So like Long Beach, California is the second largest Cambodian city in the world by population because so many of them fled. And there's amazing stories about how some of them came to Christ in refugee camps on the Thai border and things. But a lot of them also settled in Massachusetts, which is where we went for seminary. And like Nathan said, there was a lot of them in Lowell and in Lynn, and we lived in Lynn, so we got to eat at Cambodian restaurants and rub shoulders with the people and learn to love them, not just from a book, but real people with skin on, you know, like you can smell their food and you can smell their food. It didn't smell good. Thai food smells really good. Cambodian food, not so much. Pray for us. But some of them became dear friends. You'll see a picture. We're going to show a video in just a minute here with some. You would have seen them in Sunday school if you were here. But there's a picture of Nathan with a dear friend of ours. His name is Chanta. And he's been married now. We helped them do their premarital counseling. But hearing his stories, getting to know him as a person, and just loving him, and that was kind of another confirmation that these are people that we have compassion for from that kind of spirit work that God does, but also people that we enjoy. We love them. It'll be a joy to live among them. So it was just interesting to see how God kind of helped seal that. So for me, it was very much like, I'm more of an emotional person. That's how God works with me. Nathan is much more logical. I was asking him, you know, like, honey, how are we going to decide? And he says, look at Cambodia. It's an open country. It's by Laos. It's by Vietnam. This is a strategic place to go. You know, we go a strategic place. So we came about it in very different ways, but very much feel the hand of God saying, this is a place where I want you to go, and this is why I made you. And that's exciting. Now, it is very much a bittersweet calling, as you can imagine, just coming through the holidays, as Morgan was sharing about seeing friends and stuff. And man, it's kind of hard going through Christmas when you think next year or the next 4 years we might be away. But I thank God we had a great time. I got to see all my siblings and stuff. But it's definitely a sacrifice. It's a bittersweet kind of thing. But, you know, when you're walking in God's will, there's always that peace and there's that confirmation. When I start feeling nervous and you go to prayer and God says, oh no, this is where you're going and this is where I'm sending you. So I think that we will go ahead and play the video. And we do have a table set down by the front door. Maybe you've seen it coming in. We have some response cards there, some prayer cards. Please feel free to stop down and, oh, do you have a sample? Oh, she's modeling our Vanna. The yellow card is very important. On that yellow card, there's on the backside, it's postage paid. And that's how you can sign up to partner with us as prayer partners. There's a box where you could check to say, I want to be your prayer partner. And then we will send you our monthly update letter. There's also a place if you would like to financially partner with us. We have to have 100% of our pledges before we can leave. We're praying that God will open that door by May, so that we can leave in July. Otherwise, we'll have to wait another quarter. They run the orientations quarterly in Singapore. But that's what we're really praying for. If you have any questions, please come and see us. We'd love to talk Cambodia or talk weather or whatever. But I hope that you enjoy this video. The pictures might be repetitive if you were here from Sunday school, but they're still good to see again.
You said, asking you receive whatever you need. You said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land.
These pictures are from a trip we took to a village in the Cambodian countryside. We hiked 5 to 6 kilometers on some slippery roads to see a former Khmer Rouge soldier who had just believed in Christ and wanted to know how to lead his village in worship. This is a small taste of what God is doing in Cambodia. While after the genocide only a few thousand believers remained in Cambodia, now, by the grace of God, there are over 200,000 believers. The gospel is being planted in fertile soil. Brianna longs to work with the children, and I look forward to helping to disciple some of the young pastors and leaders of the church tomorrow. The Spirit of God is moving, but Cambodian Christians are still less than 2% of the population. Pray that the gospel can continue to move unhindered. Pray for us as we are speaking and seeking partners to join us. And pray for Cambodia, that God would continue to bring healing to the wounds of this land.
I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on us.
So I really thank you for this opportunity to come and share with you. Romans 10, it says, how are they going to hear without someone preaching to them, sharing this good news? But also, how is someone going to go unless they're sent? And we can't do this work without the local churches taking the other hand, supporting us here, shared in the children's message. We need people praying. We're going to try to learn Cambodian, address Cambodian, become a Cambodian, and we're two white kids from rural Iowa. That only is going to happen through the grace of God working through us. And the goal is to kind of be like scaffolding on a building. Cambodians in some parts of the country are starting to become hungry for the gospel. And missionaries come to kind of get something going, help equip and train, share where Christ is not heard. But the Cambodian church is really going to be the church that carries on this work. And so we hope in 40 or 50 years that missionaries aren't even needed there in Cambodia anymore. We're excited to be able to come in and be part of something that's just getting started. And God is starting to move there. As Brianna said earlier, if you want to receive a prayer letter and stay updated, this is a response card back there. And you can just be a prayer partner. There's one-time gift. There's the monthly pledges, how we get overseas. There's a couple prayer letters back on the table, too, that you can take. And you'll get on the mailing list to receive these through sending in one of these yellow cards. And also, this is, standard missionary card. You put it on your fridge or whatever to remember to pray for us. So I really appreciate the opportunity to share. And you guys have already been very gracious and encouraging and supporting. And it was a privilege to speak here today to you. Would you pray with me? Father, we do long and ask that you would be lifted up among the nations. Lord, I look forward to that picture in Revelations where there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping before you. And Lord, we ask that the gospel can continue to be planted, Lord, and use this church, Lord, to be a witness in their community and to the ends of the earth, Lord. I thank you for them, Lord. Continue to fill them with your Spirit and continue to use this church. I know that they have a great and rich history. So that your name be praised. In the name of Jesus, amen.